Good day, friends, and welcome to our 15th episode of the Hashtag Music Ed Love podcast, brought to you by the Music Education Department at the University of Tennessee at Martin. This episode is called Back to School, Hashtag Music Ed Love Style. This podcast is designed to advance student-centered music education in Tennessee and beyond through the dissemination of the latest techniques and research in our field. This goal is accomplished by connecting current music educators and music ed majors in the region with the most passionate, innovative, and esteemed music educators in the country. I'm your hostess, Angela Ammerman, Director of Music Ed here at UTM, and one of the most music ed-obsessed humans you might ever meet. Before we dive in, I just want to touch base on some exciting things we've been doing here in Martin lately. We've discovered that there are some issues with the local schools not having enough time in music and art, so we've started an advocacy campaign. Very soon, I will be asking for your help to share our hashtag TheArtsCan movement. This movement is all about all of the different things the arts can do for our students, the community, and the future of education. I hope you'll help us with this when it comes time. But for now, please go ahead and start using hashtag TheArtsCan in any promotional materials for arts advocacy. We will be following and sharing it all. Thanks, and enjoy the show. So we're going to dive into my top tips for your first few weeks of school. I know many of you listening haven't started yet, so some of these will be more relevant than others, and some of you have started with 1 week or even a week and a half. Some of the teachers here in Martin have had a little bit of time back. So I'm just going to dive into number 10. Befriend the custodian and your administrative assistants. I cannot tell you how much help these people will be to you. And believe me when I say, they are way more valuable to you than you are to them. Sorry to break it to you, but when your AC breaks in the middle of August and you have 25 violinists crammed into one room, believe me, you're going to wish you had been best friends with that custodian. When you need something desperately copied in the middle of class and you can't go do it and you send a student to the secretary or to your administrative assistant, believe me, you want them to love you. So befriend them right away. Make sure they know how important they are to the school and to you and what you do. Having your students go perform for them from time to time is always great. Or if your custodian's walking by, invite them in and play for them. That's a great way to get them on your side and to befriend them. Number 9, organize your life. Oh my goodness, I need this in my life every year, and I do it, and I still somehow by the end of the year am a total mess. But at least I start off organized. So, first of all, prepare a binder for each concert. This has been one of the saving graces of my entire career. Every concert I've ever done, I have a separate binder for. And within that binder are my seating charts, tabs for each piece of music, past programs, and notes about the different pieces that we're working on. This saves so much time if you can do it at the very beginning of the year. You may not know all of the pieces you're working on, but at least set up the binder so that you're ready. I also recommend creating a blank seating chart and making 50 copies now. I personally love to change my seating every 2 to 3 weeks for my students. Now, I would see my students every day or every other day, so this worked out really well for me. For those of you who see your students only once a week, I know you don't want to change your seating all that often. But having a blank seating chart around makes the world of a difference when, you know, you have Jonathan sitting next to Tracy and they won't stop talking and you have to move them, but you know you have a sub coming in tomorrow. It's just so much easier to quickly jot down the seating chart and have those blank copies ready for you. It will save you time and stress in the end, trust me. Second thing to organize your life, create a timeline of all of the big events happening throughout the year. Type them out with the date and time. And underneath each event, make a list of things that have to happen before the event and give yourself a deadline for those things. For example, if you're hosting assessment or festival, you will need all of the spaces reserved well in advance of the event. You will need student helpers, parents, and probably you'll need to be in touch with your people who are competing in that competition or that festival well in advance of the event itself. If you're having a big concert, you'll want to list a list of places to advertise, people to call, such as news stations, feeder schools, and lists of spaces you'll need to reserve. Remember, you'll always want a holding space for your students, a space for student helpers, and probably a set of tables outside of the auditorium, the theater, the gymnatorium, mater, whatever you call it, for programs, ticket sales, and perhaps for the reception after a concert or a performance. Third, get your office organized and clean before the students get there if possible. And if the students are already there, take some time to do it now. Keep a few photos of your family in the office, but not too many. Believe me, you will have plenty of things to fill your space in no time at all. My grandfather always used to say, there's a place for everything and everything has its place. And I totally believe that, but I can never remember where things belong. So when you find the perfect place for your different things within your office, slap a label on it so that when you get completely insane, you can easily jump back and find it. If you teach high school, you may have students that are logistically minded and incredibly organized. I had quite a few of those students. If you all are listening out there, you saved my life I don't know how many times. And those students would come into my office and they knew our events well enough to create a folder for those separate events and put labels on the outside of my spaces so that I could easily see where everything went. This was so helpful to me. I can't even tell you. Okay, number 8. Check your rosters ASAP. If you are missing students from last year, inquire as to what happened. You never know where students have gone. Sometimes they just didn't get signed up for your class and they really want to be there, but maybe they're too nervous to sign up now. Sometimes students are really uncomfortable with these kinds of things, so check your rosters as soon as possible. If you have a new student, see what info you can find out about them before they arrive in your room. It's always nice to know a little bit about your new students. Number 7, meet new faculty members as soon as you can. Write down their names so you won't forget and friend them on social media. Being a new faculty member can be very scary and super lonely, especially for those of us who teach art, music, PE. It is really hard at the beginning of the year, or your ESL teachers. We're very alone a lot of the time, and so the more you can befriend them, the better. You might even find that they will become one of your biggest supporters. I've had so many teachers that I've befriended, and they come to every single one of my concert, and I've been really lucky to have them in my life, but it just takes a little bit of time to reach out to them. Number 6, avoid planning your entire month of lessons out right away. This one is mostly for our first-year teachers. This is definitely tempting, but you will not believe how much things change once the school year starts, and you do not want to waste your time. My first year of teaching, I seriously planned out an entire month with elementary general music. What a mistake this was! I had to redo everything in my little plan book because things get changed throughout the year. Assemblies pop up out of nowhere. Teachers aren't able to bring their students, or a different teacher brings the wrong class because suddenly the other class has to go to a special training. All kinds of madness happens, especially in elementary school, and you just can't plan the entire month right away. What you can do is create kind of a list of different topics you want to hit and different objectives you have for that month. I think that's a really smart way to go as opposed to the specific lessons right away. Speaking of planning, number 5 is to pick out your first day outfit, your first day music, and your first day materials. I recommend setting out your clothes each night before you go to bed in order to eliminate stress and to make your mornings run a bit smoother. As usual, my first day of school outfit is already picked out, pressed, and ready to go. Surprise, surprise, it's a red dress. I always wear red dresses, except for today when I'm recording this in overalls. That's the great thing about podcasts, by the way, is that I can wear overalls and record this. I'm slightly obsessed with overalls. Anyway, sorry, back to my topic. So, number 4, give yourself a theme for this year and set yourself up to succeed. Last year, my theme was just survive because it was my first year teaching college, and I needed my theme to just be survive. My goal or my theme just had to be simple and easy to achieve. But this year, my theme is to create and stick to my deadlines. I've noticed that if I don't give myself a deadline, I tend to take way too long to return assignments and especially emails. Oh my goodness, emails are the bane of my existence. So, number 3, emails. This may be somewhat controversial, but I think it's important to say. you set yourself up for how people will view you and how they will treat you. If you start off the year responding to every single email, whether it needs a response or not, then you will quickly become bombarded by every single person who needs an extra expo marker via email. Or worse, those people who just want to sell you a trip or get you to help with something, and then they end up throwing all of their tasks onto you. I have been this person forever, the person who always responds and always jumps in when people need something, which can be really good sometimes, but you also have to value your own time and sanity, or else you will quickly reach burnout, and we do not want that. So give yourself a dedicated time to check email. If the email warrants a response, then go ahead and respond. If not, ignore it. Sorry, but number one priority in your classroom must be your students, not emails. The administrative stuff can usually wait, so let it go. Okay, number two, first day plans. The temptation for the first day is to go ahead and get the syllabus out of the way. Yes, it's important to talk about the syllabus and the handbook and all of the other boring things, but is this the kind of a tone you want to set for your students? No, of course not. So start the class with music blaring from your room. Greet your students in the hallway with a fun activity. Perhaps you could have a hopscotch drawn on your floor with an expo marker for tile floors, or with tape for carpeted floors. Have students hopscotch to the beat of the piece you are playing into the room. What a fun and simple way to assess steady beat on day one. And trust me, this is fun for any age, especially if the students already know you. They'll totally do it for you. Go through the syllabus, but see if you can make it more fun. I've seen so many exciting scavenger hunts, Monopoly-type games, and even matching games for syllabus days. Encourage your students to get to know each other on this day, and be sure to end with a bang. Remember that your students should always want to return to your classroom. Okay, number one, have fun. How many people get to make music with wonderful people for a living? We have an incredible job and an incredible opportunity. The more you enjoy your job, the more your students will flock to you. Believe me. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode, in which our future music teachers will talk to us about their hopes and dreams for their own music teaching careers. I hope you'll tune in. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, to hit subscribe so you can get all of our updates, and to like us on Facebook at Music Ed Love. We hope that this week you will be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all of your students, uncover the greatness within a few more humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends!